By the time that we've reached our age, most of us, we've had a lot of events in our lives that we treasure, and we like to get together sometimes and talk about them, how great they were. But we must not live in the past, because we've got some great days ahead of us. When you recall those wonderful days in the past, maybe it was your wedding, maybe it was your graduation from high school, maybe it was your graduation from college, or whatever it was, I'm sure you treasure it. But all things are not in the past. I want us to talk about something that is glorious to every Christian today. It is a glory in my own heart as I think about it. And I want to share it with you today as the Apostle Paul shared it with the church at Ephesus back in his days in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, in verse 27. It's coming up for us. It is the glorious day of our presentation and coronation to the Almighty God. I want to talk to us Christians about that this morning for a little while. But if you're not a Christian here this morning, I want to talk to you too, because we want you to share in this great event. We want you to be there with us. Look at this verse of Scripture. Beginning in about verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church." He loved it so much that he gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Now, what was all of that for? Look at it. That he might have a great day of glorious presentation. Well, what it says here is that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot, nor wrinkle, nor any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Beloved, we're going to stand before the Almighty God that created us one of these days. God our Father, who has said from the very beginning that he wanted to dwell with us. He wants to dwell with us forever. Jesus said in John 14, "I go to prepare a place for you." The purpose was that you can come to the Almighty God and dwell with your Creator. I want us to think about that great day. Our great day when we struggle through this life through faith and our faith finally comes to sight. There is the day of fruition. And we'll see God our Father. In the Old Testament, it's repeated, no one can see God and live. Because that's, no sinner can be in the presence of God or look upon God. God hates sin that bad. But that's why Christ came and died, that our sins might be dealt with, that we might stand before him sanctified and cleansed on that great day. I want you to think about that and keep that sight in your mind. What a day! You want to be a part of it. And we invite all non-Christians, because it's certainly coming to everybody when we're going to have to stand before God. We will stand there on that day before our Lord Jesus Christ. We will see him as Lord of lords, King renowned, King of kings and Lord of lords. We will see the angels in festal array all gathered around the throne of God. And you and I, as Christians, are going to be there. The day of joy unspeakable is going to come. The joy in your heart, in my heart, as the time comes for God or Jesus to confess you to the Almighty God. When you stand there and he says, and you use your name, if you're a Christian, "My Father, Fenner Northern has confessed me before men on earth. And as I said in the book of Matthew 10:32, if he confesses me before men, I will confess him also before you, my Father in heaven." Now you think about that, standing there and having Jesus Christ take you, perhaps by the hand, I don't know, but say to the Father, this is one of mine. Now Paul is saying here in Ephesians 5, all that Jesus Christ did when he came to earth and all that he lived for and all that he died for and what he was resurrected for is that he might give you in presentation to the Almighty God on that day. And Paul is saying, all that I've lived for, all of these books that I've written in the New Testament is for the edification of the Christian, the church, that they might stand there without spot and without blemish. And beloved, we're headed for that. What a day that will be. Think of the moment of that presentation. Think of the honor roll of the redeemed that will be gathered there with us. All the ones of the Old Testament of Abraham and all of those that were wonderful, faithful, and Moses and all of them, all redeemed in the blood of Christ as it flowed back and as it flows forward from the cross to include us. It is beyond imagination. No eye has seen, no ear has heard all of the beauty. And it's difficult for us to put it in words, but we can use the ones that we have here. You're being presented as you stand there as a chaste virgin before God. That's like a young virgin who comes to her groom in marriage, clean, immaculate, and I give myself to you. Now, we couldn't do that. We're all unclean. There is not one without sin, the Bible says, but Jesus Christ died to make us clean, free from sin, so that when we stand there that day. Now, for instance, right now, imagine yourself, if you can, completely immaculate in conscience, without a single ugly thing ever upon you. It's all gone. Standing there, as Isaiah said, white as snow before the Almighty God, because everything that enters into that place is going to be without defilement and white as snow. And you're being presented. Unbelievable, isn't it? Without spot and without wrinkle, without blemish. As Jude says in his little epistle, that he might present you perfect. I can't think of myself as perfect without the grace of God, without what God has done for me in Jesus Christ. And Paul says this, and this is the thing that I really want us to anchor our thoughts to at this time. And this is in 2 Timothy 2 and 21. That when we are presented there, we will be presented as a vessel of honor, sanctified and holy for the Master's use. You know, when I was preparing this lesson, I thought, that's such a wonderful thought, that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us over there at God's house. And we're going to be the furniture. He says that you as vessels of honor might be placed in God's house to sanctify and honor it. So as we stand there at our coronation, for he says we will receive a crown of life. I don't know about the literalness of that. That might be the achievement of what you've done. But we'll stand there to be on that day of coronation, to be placed in the house of God as you would go somewhere when you have a new home and you'd say, isn't that a beautiful vessel? That belongs in my living room. That belongs in my whatever room. And you purchase it. And you take it home. And you put it in a prominent place so that it can enhance and decorate your home. Now, can you think of me, of you, decorating the house of God? He says, vessels of honor for the house of God. Isn't that a wonderful thought? But meantime, if we're going to be a vessel to decorate the house of God, he says you're going to have to be purged. Purged, he says, from uncleanliness. He says there in that verse, if a man then purge himself from iniquity, of course, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified, and meet for the Master's use. Meet for the Master's use is adequate to decorate his house, to bring the glory to the house of God. And if that's going to be in heaven, it's certainly got to start here. That's what the church is all about. That's what these assemblies are about. That's what the fellowship of the church is about. To get us ready for the day of presentation to the Almighty God. That's what we sing, isn't it? For we feel our imperfections here, and we come together and sing, mold me and make me after thy will. Because we have that day in mind. Well, how is the molding done? Well, the molding is done in such a way that we don't like it. And I'm afraid if we sing that song, mold me and make me, and understood all of what it meant, that we might not sing it as liltingly as we do. Because what that means is, do to me, Father, whatever you feel is necessary to get me ready for that day of presentation. And he tells us very plainly in Malachi 3 and verse 3 that God sits as a refiner. And he's refining us as you would refine silver or gold. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 3 that every man's work is going to rest upon whether he is gold, silver, precious stone, or wood, hay, or stubble. Then he adds this, for the day will declare it. It's not exactly the day we'll declare it at judgment day, because when we stand there, we're either going to be acquitted, we're either going to be white as snow, or we're not going to be there. But the day we'll declare it because of the refining process, of the purging. And that's going on now. And when we sing, mold me and make me after thy will, then we come to hear the sermons of the Almighty God in his word for the purpose of saying, adjust me here, Lord. Help me to get rid of this, and forgive me of that, whatever it is. In Mark 9, verse 49, Jesus said to his disciples and to us, everyone shall be salted by fire. Ooh, that hurts sometimes. You ever had salt to get on a skin place? It hurts, but sometimes it happens. In Luke 12 and verse 49, Jesus said, I didn't come just to be a comfortable, sentimental Savior. For here he says, I am come to send fire upon the earth. And this fire shall judge whatever man he is, Paul says. Whether you are gold, silver, precious stone, or wood, hay, or stubble. The gold, silver, and precious stone shall be vessels of decoration and honor for the house of God. The wood, hay, and stubble are going to be burned. Because the fire shall do it. And of course, the fire is not a thing in the world, but the trials and tribulations and all the sorrows and the pains and the discouragements and everything that we have to go through. Some of that can make us better Christians if we have the right frame of mind, but some of it can come upon us and cause us to stumble and back off and rue the day. 1 Corinthians 3:13, the fire shall try every man's work of what sort he is. You're being found out now through the fiery trials and troubles that you're experiencing in this life, or whether you are gold, silver, precious stone, or wood, hay, and stubble. If you can take the fire and let the fire purify you, that's what gold does. Gold takes the ore that's mixed, got the other contaminants in it, put it to the fire, and that separates it. And the gold is purified. It's enhanced in its beauty. So it says all of these troubles and trials and tribulations, all the persecutions you're going through every day in living this Christian life, when you have to say no to the world or no to some sin, and you have to say yes to God, you are being purified. And sometimes, oh, it hurts. It's painful. But it's there. But you're being prepared for the day of presentation. No wonder then James says in 1, my brethren, when you fall in all manners of temptations or trials, consider it with joy. Be joyous when that happens. Why be joyous under all of these pains and troubles and tribulations and discouragements and so on? Why? Because when you overcome that, well, while you're overcoming that, you know that it is a process that's shining you up for God. For the day when you'll stand before Him, all polished up and shined and ready to enter into God's house over on the other side. And that's good for you. Now, we cannot always see the good. He says in Hebrews the 12th chapter, now chastisement and discipline does not always seem good at the present, but afterwards it yieldeth a better person. So when James says, count it all joy, he's saying, don't look at what's happening now. Look, you're having the edges filed off of you. You're being molded and made. And one of these days you'll stand before Him, sanctified before God, meet for the Master's use. Amen and amen. Revelation forgot that. Fine congregation over in Laodicea. Laodicea thought she was rich and increasing good and had need of nothing. We're just doing great over here. I'm just saying this now because I don't know all of the things, but we've got a beautiful, wonderful church building. We're all meeting here and everything's great. But the Holy Spirit said, Jesus in the book of Revelation said, don't you know that you're blind, miserable, and naked as far as spirituality is concerned? Now He says, I counsel thee to buy me gold. Can you finish it? Gold tried in fire. You've got to walk through the fire here. And when Jesus was pictured in the midst of the seven churches in Revelation 1, it said His feet were burnished. You know what burnished is? They've been through the fire. Jesus Himself walked through the fire for you and me to go back to the Father in heaven so that the Father could say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And one of these days, beloved, He's going to say that about us, and we may not wonder why, but the greatest thing you'll ever hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. The rest of this is right. Because you have been faithful over a few things, I'll make thee ruler over many. You're going to rule over all of the awesome temptations and trouble. You're going to sit as king with nothing lacking in the presence of God. Everything that makes a tear will be gone. Some material, fire is for two purposes. It's to purify, or it's also to destroy, depending upon the individual and the way that they look at their problems. Some vessels can be purified by fire, and some of them can't. 1 Corinthians 3 and 12, we've just mentioned. James and John now, I'd like to mention also. In Mark the 10th chapter, verse 38, listen at this. Salome is in on it too, their mother. Lord, when you come into thy kingdom, we would like for my sons and James and John too, saying we'd like to have the chief seats. We'd like to be right up in front. And Jesus said very frankly with them, that's not mine to give, only the Father in heaven. But this is the way He gives it. Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I shall be baptized with? Hey, yay, Lord, we're able. Oh, you can say that on a sunshiny day and on a beautiful day. I'm able. You know, Peter did that and then denied the Lord three times right after that. Well, it's easy to say in here, Lord, I'm able, when we sing these songs and sit around the Lord's table. But when we go out the door and meet the world and we get back in the swing of things out there in this cynical world, it turns out a little bit different. Well, anyway, Zechariah 13:9 says, I will try them as gold is tried. Well, Proverbs 17:3 says, the furnace is for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. You will not make it to sanctification or the purification of sanctification unless you go through the fire. Jesus was saying that to James and John. Jesus had to go through the fire of the cross and death. Can you fellas do that? And so He's saying that to us. Can you drink this cup? Are you able? If you're able to walk through the cup of fire that I will walk through, then You can have the first place in the kingdom, but that's the only way God awards this. Vessels of honor are those who've been purified by the fire of this life, the fire of temptation. And you fought it till the day you die. And the day you die, it'll be lifted from you. And over on the other side, you'll be standing there without a single thought about sin or sin. It's hard to believe. Well, we need then, for one thing, and I think this is one reason it's in the Bible, to have the adamant faith of the three Hebrew children. The great faith of the Hebrew children was that the king says, you either bow to our culture, bow to this image, which was their culture, or we throw you in the furnace of fire. And then here's what they came back with. Our Lord, or our God, will deliver us from the furnace of fire. Now that's the way we pray. Lord, deliver us. But here's how adamant we've got to be to the world, to the king, to its culture. Here's what they added. But if not, we still will not bow to your culture. Throw them in. If you don't bow to this world, you're going to have some fiery furnaces out there. But when the king looked in, there was the fourth man in there. Who is the fourth man? It's the Son of Man. So even today, don't ever forget, and tell me not to forget, that when the evil day comes, the fourth man is standing by you. Hard to see. It's hard to feel and know. But stick it out. Because you're in the purification process. And I close with this little verse from 1 Corinthians 10:13 that Paul talks about. No temptation has taken you, but which is common to man. But God is faithful, which will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able. But with every temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. But oh, it's hard sometimes. You've got to cling to the escape. Cling to the rock that is higher than I. Now I hope as we close, you'll have more appreciation through your life of problems and sufferings and discouragements and whatever battles you're fighting. This passage of Scripture, Romans 8:28. Now we know that all things work together for the good of them. Wait a minute. Don't stop. Who love the Lord. If you love the Lord, it's going to work out for good. Don't quit loving. Ephesus did. Sardis did. Laodicea did. Let us not here at Redland Road cease to love the Word of God. Cling to it. And you and I will have part in that glorious presentation to God on that day. Oh, we would that everybody here would be there. We know we're going to be there. But be presented to God without spot and without blemish. And you can be. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, oh, we want you to have part in that. And you have part in that. But what Jesus said in Matthew 10:32-33, if you confess me before men, ye also will I confess before my Father in heaven. Then follow it through like the eunuch did in the 8th chapter. And after he confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, they commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down in the water and he baptized him. And as Paul says in Acts 22, or Luke said it, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. All the garments then come out spotless, white as snow. Oh, you're going to mess up. But the grace of God will help you through if you will stay with it. And the best, sweetest thought you'll ever have is when you take your final breath, if you have the conscience, to think, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. henceforth there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. Then this sweet thing, not for me only, but for all of them, my family of God who loves the Lord. Amen. If you're here and subject to the invitation, you may come as we stand and sing.